I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and new type of Daniel about to drop. I'm a boxer now. Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, put up your dukes.
Hey, everybody, it's Soren Bowie. I am a writer for American Dad, and I was just thinking how thankful I am that you do these intros so regularly and how good they all are.
Are they all good?
They are. I'm just feeling very appreciative at the moment.
Good.
And now I've got questions about yours.
Great.
African-American, what was that? Afro-Caribbean dance you were doing for a long time? That's done. You're never going back to that.
No, okay. That was like six guys ago.
Yeah, I remember, but I just had hopes that maybe there'd be some return to it because it was brief.
Yeah.
It was a stint where someone called you brave and then you stopped doing it. Today's episode is sponsored by PayPal Honey. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ.
Thanks to NextEvo for supporting Quick Question. NextEvo All Natural products are backed by more scientific studies than any other CBD brand. Try NextEvo Naturals capsules, gummies, mints, and topical creams clinically proven to be better absorbed by your body. Get 20% off your first order of $40 or more at nextevo.com with promo code QQ.
Thanks to Nutrafol for supporting Quick Question. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug-free. They use natural medical-grade botanicals and consistently effective dosages. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to nutrafol.com/men and entering the promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription. And then, so Mountain Man's gone. So now you are a boxer.
Yeah.
Kickboxer.
No, I took a boxing class. And it's like a cardio boxing thing that I'm using as a good workout and also as a way to work my way up to trying an actual boxing lesson. Because I can't point to a person or a thing that inspired this, but just something in my brain switched and... everything my body is telling me, you should try to you should learn how to box and you should try to box and see what that does.
See what it does to your own body.
Yeah.
Well, I have actually a lot of questions about boxing. Maybe you can't answer these yet. Are you hitting a bag at all?
Yeah. Hitting a bag and hitting mitts. There's no like, I didn't have to punch a person or get punched in the one class that I took. And I don't think with this class, you will ever have to spar with another person, but you are punching hands.
Okay. Then I think this is great. I have a lot of questions for you. Number one, hitting the bag. Is that painful? Is that super? That seems like it hurts.
It hurts a little bit. Yeah.
Seems like I don't want to do that. Like I don't want to give it force because that bag's going to, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. It's the bigger problem that I'm having with the bag is you hit it and it moves and like swings around for a while. And I know if I'm boxing with a person, they will also likely move. But I don't know if I'm supposed to chase the bag around or if I'm supposed to pause it every time it moves with the power of my fists.
Yeah. Well, what you're supposed to do is as it moves, you brace it with one hand and then you start doing a windmill thing with your other hand and then you punch it.
That's right.
And you go, oh, every single time. That's how boxing works.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the class. I had a thing that anytime I've ever had a class in anything physical, whether I was learning, like yoga, boxing, climbing, anything where someone else would be intimately involved with my body for some kind of clinical thing. It's the same song and dance where they tell me to relax a part of me, and I have to watch them learn that this machine doesn't relax. There's no like, no, just like, and they're like, no, loose, make your arms, keep your elbows like in, but loose. And I'm like, no. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, move them, unilaterally left and right 2 inches each as quick as I can to like, if I'm fast enough, they look like they're flopping, but no, I have never been loose a second of my entire life. This body carries tension every inch of it, every second of every day. I can't loosen up. I can just like, if you want me to loosen my neck, I will just sharply and violently point my neck toward the floor. And that's it. I'm going to do my best impression of loose, but it doesn't, this is, I'm tightly wound and I don't know why all the time.
Yeah, in those circumstances, I can't imagine that ever works for you. Where they're like, hey, you guy with your shoulders way up at your ears. Why don't you listen up? How do you not scream at them? You don't know me.
Yeah.
This is just who I am. This is where they live.
Yeah. Just loosen your hips. This is as loose as they will ever go.
I'm not a salsa dancer. I never will be. I've come to terms with that. I have another. Are you, when you're doing the hitting the gloves,
yeah,
are you doing that cool thing where like you're like pop, 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 and then they swing at you and you duck under it and then you come back up and you're like pop, pop, pop. And is that choreographed? Are you like, I know when they're coming for me, or is it spontaneous?
For me, it's choreographed. They say like numbers or punches and ducks. So like they could say jab or they could say one. And you have to just like know what the corresponding thing is. Like 1-1-2 is jab, jab, and then cross the right. And 3 is hook. And 6 is like a body shot. And so when they're coaching you, they could say 2-2-3 duck, 2-1-2 duck. And then you just like have to remember those combinations and do them.
Oh, I would hate that.
It's very tough.
I played God of War and there's a lot of that in it where it's like X right now. And I'm like, oh, I don't know which one. Okay, hold on. Let's just take, there it is. There. It, no, I missed it. Okay.
Yeah. Bop. It's very similar to God of War, I think.
I've heard that about boxing.
Yeah. This class also had the big ropes. I did a bunch of big rope stuff.
Yes. Did you carry them around on your shoulders?
I did. Just like I'm supposed to. I wrapped my opponent with them. Feet to head.
You hogtied someone. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. The ropes are fun, actually. Once you kind of like understand what you're supposed to be doing with ropes, you're like, oh,
yeah,
I see why people use these. I see why RG3 was using them in that Subway commercial all those years ago.
Yeah. There's something I'm ashamed to admit it. Because for some reason this seems like so caveman-y, but there is something very satisfying about a simple, like, big, dumb-looking exercise where I'm just, like, picking up heavy thing and throwing it on the ground. I certainly see the appeal of people who work out by, like, just pushing giant tires, like, flipping wheels around, where it's, like, yeah, I kind of, like, I don't know. It's, I don't know if it activates some kind of caveman thing where it's, like, yeah, I want an exercise where I'm ripping a tree out of the ground and throwing it at the sun.
You have no idea how badly I want to lift one of those tractor tires over and over again, or I want to have a chain around my waist that's connected to like a log that I have to sprint and carry. I'm desperate to try that.
Where can we do those tractor tire things?
Well, nowhere.
Do you just like have a farm?
Yeah, JJ Watt does them, but he's because his family's got a big farm somewhere in the middle of America. I don't think there's even room to. Where would you store a tractor tire like that?
No, like I don't think I would buy one, but like I don't even know like a gym that would offer one, any of these gyms. It seems like if there was an institution in Los Angeles that said you could come and do like this kind of very rustic hands-on exercise, I think it would do great business. I just don't know if it exists.
There was a 24-hour fitness in LA that I went to once that had a big tire in it, but it wasn't one of those big 200-pound tires or whatever they are.
Yeah.
It was just moderately sized big. And then you were allowed to hit it with a sledgehammer, which felt sort of deeply unsafe in the middle of the gym.
Yeah.
But yeah, people would just hit the shit out of this thing with a sledgehammer.
I think I would be out after one hit. I think I'm picturing it in my mind and I'm picturing hitting it and my hands shaking from the vibration of the impact and not liking that.
Yeah, I think that I would hit it several times, but before my muscles would give out, my poor, soft, delicate hands would blister to the point where they would start to burn. And I'd be like, this is for someone more blue collar than me.
We had one of those, like, I don't know if this was common at Occidental, but one of those college events where school hasn't really started yet. And it's just sort of like college day where you walk around and you sign up for things and you like get free shit. And one of the things they had was just a car that you could just hit with a big sledgehammer.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like the Michael Jackson video.
100% like that. We all, like, all the glass was gone. So no one's going to get hurt with glass, but you wait in a long line. I must have waited like 45 minutes for my turn to take one whack at this car. And I hit the car with a sledgehammer and it vibrated my hands. And I was like, oh no, this is not, I don't think this is for me. I don't think I have a future in this field.
Well, it doesn't mean that's what would happen with a tire or anything else.
No,
you just got it. It was a bad car. Probably.
Probably a bad car. Yeah.
I have another question. This is an embarrassing question about boxing, but I have no frame of reference for the sport. Mm-hmm. This is not like, I've never spent much time watching it. I've never actually done it. When people are boxing, like not even each other, even when they're just hitting a bag, the sound that I can't tell where the sound is coming from, but it's this sound. And I can't tell if that's the sound of the gloves punching or them breathing.
Yeah.
Is that the breathing that you're supposed to be doing?
Breathing. I don't know if you're supposed to be doing it, but that's what I think it is.
It's such a weird noise that comes out of people who know what they're doing with boxing, but it's like a shh, shh, shh. And it sounds like it could be the sponginess inside the glove kind of deflating as it hits, but I'm never confident that that's what it is. It's always like, I can't tell if that's coming out of your mouth or not, but surely that's not how humans breathe.
Yeah. It's a really good question. I can't overstate this. One class, I wasn't anticipating you to have so many boxing questions right off the top for the one class that I went to. We didn't get into the section on sounds yet. We're still just at punching and ropes.
It sounds like you actually did quite a bit, though.
Yeah.
Was there a ring there?
Yeah.
So exciting. Did it stink? Was it smelly there?
The whole gym smelled awful.
Oh, I love it.
It's very specific. Yeah.
You're my foot in the door. That's why I'm asking all these questions. I'm very curious about the culture of boxing. Yeah. And it seems like something it would be nice to just have in my back pocket that I could do, but it's just has never been worth it to me.
I don't actually know if it's going to end up being the thing I want it to be. Like a version where I could just spar with someone as a fun exercise. But we don't actually get hurt. I don't know if they're like the way that you can do one-on-one basketball. If I could just do one-on-one boxing for however long boxing is supposed to last. And then at the end, there's no blood in my mouth or black eyes or my nose is broken or anything like that. But just like
you're just hitting gloves and you're like, that was a fun day.
Yeah, this was a fun day. See you
at lunch.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think that's for me either. I mean, I've played flag football and stuff like that. And just getting booped in the nose a little bit by accident with somebody's shoulder or something, immediately there are tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I don't think, a sport where I'm being hit in the face repeatedly, I think I would just start crying.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with it. I hope that you continue to be a boxer for at least another 2 weeks, because I've got more questions later for you.
Soren, how are you still talking about boxing? I am a fur trader. I have always been a fur trader. Ask me about skinning a beaver. Come on.
Well, no questions about my canoe. Today's episode is sponsored by PayPal Honey. How do you feel about online shopping? And how often do you do it? How often do you feel like at the end of your shopping experience, you actually have a promo code locked and loaded and ready to go at checkout? I would say never. I've never been a coupon clipper, especially an internet coupon clipper. Well, thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds right to your cart. It supports over 30,000 stores online, too. That's ranging from tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands to food delivery. So pretty much whatever you want to find and buy, Honey's got you covered. So imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, there's a Honey button right there. It drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a couple of seconds while Honey does the legwork. Honey scours the internet, scours millions of sites and finds the coupon that best suits what you're purchasing and applies it right there at checkout. If Honey finds that working coupon, you just watch your price drop. I recently had to purchase a bunch of stuff for my son's birthday. All kinds of party supplies. It's a theme party too, so everything's got to be on theme. And I applied Honey right there at the end. And on all of the things that I was buying for this theme party, where I've invited, honestly, way too many people, it saved me $14. If you don't have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ. Thanks to PayPal Honey for sponsoring Quick Question.
If you've ever wondered whether your CBD was working, that means, guess what? It probably wasn't. Next Evo Naturals develops Smart Zorb technology, clinically proven to help your body absorb CBD 4 times faster than regular CBD oil. Because oil just doesn't mix with your water-based body. It works faster too. When you feel stress coming on, like I do, oh, I don't know, all the time, you won't waste time wondering, is it working? A friend of mine tried CBD and they weren't sure if it was working, and I told them, buddy, that means it's not. Next Evo is great. The gummies are delicious. I recommend them for, recently I was feeling stressed in anticipation of a party, so I used these Next Evo gummies that I got, and I felt less stressed. I was super relaxed. Everybody at the party was commenting on what a chill host I was, which, true story, no one has ever described me as chill until this moment. I loved those gummies. I enjoyed them. You will too. Smart Zorb technology improves CBD's ability to be absorbed, getting into your system in as little as 10 minutes. Most CBD oil found in tinctures, gummies, and capsules achieves between 2% and 10% absorption, which means more than 90% of what you think you're getting is actually wasted. Next Evo Naturals are scientifically formulated to deliver more CBD in a way your body can actually use it and fast, proven 29 times better absorption in the first 30 minutes. It's not just another CBD company. Next Evo's all-natural products are backed by more scientific studies than any other CBD brand developed by experienced consumer healthcare and pharmaceutical professionals. It's vegan, it's GMO-free, it's gluten-free, THC-free capsules, and gummies are derived from 100% U.S.-grown hemp. Stop wondering if CBD is right for you. Try Next Evo natural capsules, gummies, mints, and topical creams clinically proven to be better absorbed by your body. Get 25% off your first order of $40 or more at nextevo.com with promo code QQ. That's 25% off at nextevo.com, promo code QQ.
Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Go.
Do you remember your first day of first grade?
Yeah. I mean, I remember what my memory allows me to remember.
I do too. I remember pretty vividly. In fact, I remember thinking, not being scared at all, being like, no, this is good. This is where I should be. But at the same time, I don't know if this is dark or not. Maybe looking around the room and being like, all right, well, who's cute here?
Yeah.
At six.
At that age? No.
Yeah.
No.
Being like, who could be my girlfriend? Did you not think about that?
No, I did think about that. I don't think I thought who's cute. I did think who's girlfriend, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the same thing when you're that age. Same thing at anything, at age, you know what I'm saying? Dude, when I'm feeling mealy mouth like that, do you know what I'm saying?
You're right. It is the same being at any age.
I remember thinking, who could be my girlfriend here? Yeah. And that seems like that's not on my son's radar at all. I didn't think. But
he started first grade already?
Yeah. So The reason I'm asking this is that today was his first day of first grade. And he was fucking pumped. He was so excited, not nervous at all. And I was like, do you think we should put anything in your backpack other than your water? And he's like, nope, let's go. Put on sunglasses and like headed out of the house. Excellent. Empty backpack. Like didn't care. They didn't have anything to like, no markers, crayons, anything to write with, no paper. He was just like, whatever's there, that's what I'm going to be using. Receipts, it doesn't matter. Like he was just pumped to be on the way to school and was singing the song this morning. It was just like a guitar solo, kind of like a doing like a na 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 the whole morning, like getting dressed to that song. He was so excited to be going to school, and the energy was infectious for my daughter because she was like way into it as well.
Yeah,
and then we went and dropped him off, and when she was not also dropped off, and when we were like took her back to the house, she was like, that was when it really clicked for her that this was not a fun thing for her. Like, what about me? School. And we're like, no, not yet. You'll get there. Yep. Just listen, you're not going to be saying that for much longer. He won't either. Don't worry. He's going to come home today. And he's gonna be like, I don't know about my teacher. But, I vividly remember going to my first day of kindergarten, but of first grade. Cause kindergarten was like it was only a half day for me. It was, glorified daycare. But I remember going to first grade. I had a very strict and, but you know, smart and like good teacher named Mrs. Cousins who taught me how to read. Mm-hmm. And I remember going there the first day and being like, this is it. Like, this is where it all begins.
Yeah. We had, very different experiences. What I remember of first grade is that my kindergarten, I went to a full day kindergarten, and I went to the kindergarten that my brothers didn't go to when they were that age. I went to a Catholic kindergarten because it was the only school around that did offer full day care. And that's, you know, my mom was going back to work. So I went to this other place just for kindergarten and had the whole ritual of uniforms and like Catholic lessons baked in around the alphabet, as were, you know, all the normal kindergarten stuff, and then was yanked out of there for first grade and was dropped right back into public school with full somehow 6-year-old self-awareness that all of these kids were in the same kindergarten together except me.
Yeah.
And I felt I don't think I was nervous, but I think I was just in there as like, oh, I don't have any friends. I don't know any of these kids. It's nice that I'm not in a uniform anymore, but like all those kids I know are dead as far as a child's mind understands. And this is going to sound like self-mythologizing because it's so specifically well remembered. But I remember the first day my teacher, Mrs. LaForge, when we were having snack time, she said specifically, you can now turn to your buddy and have a snack with your buddy. And I would watch people buddy up, and I ate my snack alone. And I ate my snack alone for like 3 or 4 days in a row while people would like partner up. And then one of these days I raised my hand and was like, Ms. LaForge, I don't have a buddy. I don't know any of them. And then she was like, well, just turn around and look, there's someone. And then I just became friends with whomever, Mike Doganier, who was sitting behind me. And I was like, great, we're buddies now. This is for life.
It is really nice how easy it is for kids to make friends at that age. Colleen,
but I do like there's something curious to me. I appreciate little Daniel's adherence to the rules at that age, when she says, have snack with your buddy. Well, I don't have a buddy, so I will eat alone. I will eat alone for perhaps the rest of my life because I don't have an option for people with non-buddies.
I'm not built for this place. my wife also has very vivid memories because she went to a brand new school for first grade. She lived in Minnesota her whole life, and then she moved to Tucson, and it was brand new. She didn't know anybody. And when she showed up at school, they did that thing with new students where they're like, everyone look at this kid for a second. Yeah. It's new.
Yeah.
Look at her.
What a gift that must be for a teacher to be like, you're new? Oh, fuck. You're from a different state? Oh, shit. Tell us about it. This is going to eat up 10 minutes. Easy.
Tell us a little about yourself. Oh, this is great. Yeah.
I heard their winters are nuts. Go.
And she introduced herself, and then the teacher was like, I need a volunteer for somebody to help her out for the day and show her around. Basically, like, they just wanted somebody to show her the ropes at first grade. And this girl, Lauren, was like, yeah, I'll do it. And to this day, Lauren and her are best friends. Like, amazing. That first person who reaches out to you and, like, offers you a lifeline. You're like, yes, I am indebted to you. I owe you my life.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life, I'll follow you around and try and pay off this debt.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be your friend. Isn't it amazing that we have everything in common? Yes, let's decide that right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, I don't know what I like yet. So we're just going to grow together. It'll be great.
I love the enthusiasm of Lauren. Like, yeah, I'll show her the ropes. What are you telling her? Right, yeah, hey, I'm Lauren. I also have no power and no money. I get shuffled around everywhere. I never know what's going on.
That's the sharpener over there.
I've never chosen a meal for myself in my entire life.
When you want to go to the bathroom, you put you do this weird cross thing with your middle finger and your index finger, and then that's pretty much it. We're best friends now. Yeah, so because she also was very scared in the same way that you were, where it's like brand new, but everybody already knew each other. And that's,
yeah,
I mean, that's hard for anybody. That's hard at my age.
Yeah.
And we had very different experiences. And Ronan, thankfully, was like just so gung ho about, like, yeah, I'm going back to school. I'm going to wear my good shirt, got my sunglasses on. And even when he's in line, I was like, do you want me to take your sunglasses for the day? He's like, no.
Man. Ronan fucking rules.
He's a cool kid. But I remembered thinking back to the girlfriend stuff where I was like, oh, who could be my girlfriend in this class? And then I was like trying to put the context with what he's going through in his life right now. I was like, I don't think he's aware of that at all. Was it crazy that I was aware of that at 6 years old? Because it's so not on his radar. Huh.
He it went was to definitely on mine, but I wonder where it I guess there must have just been like
older sibling, maybe.
No, I think there must just be like girlfriends and husbands and wives on TV. It must have just been like pop culture.
So I went to a birthday party recently for a young girl that was in his class with him, and I met the mom, and I was like, hey, we haven't actually met before. Our kids were in school all year. And she was like, oh, you're Ronan's dad. Okay. At the very beginning of the school year, Ronan asked, and this girl's, I won't put her name out there, but she's like, Ronan asked
Is she a fan of the pod? Is she a listener?
I've been burned before. she was like, Ronan asked her to be his girlfriend. And she said, yes. And I was like, fucking what? Are you sure about this? And she's like, and then she came home one day and told me that she broke up with him because he wasn't giving her enough attention. And in fact, at this birthday party, she didn't invite this other boy that my son likes a lot. She's like, she didn't invite this other kid because she said, if Ronan's coming, he'll just play with this other boy the whole time. So like she very pointedly didn't invite this other kid that my friend clicks with because she's like, well, I don't want him just playing with her with this other boy. And I was like, what? This is so advanced. This is so varsity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I was like, I pulled Ronan aside and I was like, what's the deal? Did you ask this girl to be your girlfriend? He's like, no. And I was like, do you know what that means? And he goes, no. And I was like, okay, go play. This has all been invented in her brain somehow. Yeah. And I want to know why. I want to know, like, first, I just want to know, like, where the impulse is coming from. Where's she getting it from that he's not? She's privy to these channels that he doesn't have.
Yeah. All it's right, all so fascinating. It's fascinating that the girl has any say over who comes to her birthday party. I don't feel like I had that kind of power. I didn't have.
No.
Guest list approval?
No. In fact, where we have a
certainly no strategic guest list approval where it's like, oh no, that's gonna upset the vibe that I'm going for.
No, so that person's no good for the energy. So Ronan's birthday is coming up, and I think I already told you that we invited class friends. We invited people from his school that you know, his whole class, and then other people that he knew outside of his class. That's not a huge list of kids. It's like a pretty normal number of kids. It would end up being probably, I think, like 15 or 18 kids.
Okay.
But nobody said no. Everybody's coming.
And that means that these extended families come as well, like the rest of their family comes. So now each kid represents five people. So now that guest list just exploded from Jesus like 15 Christ. Kids to about 70. So we have so many people coming to a birthday.
What do you, how do you feed all those people?
Well, I don't know. I think we just get a bunch of pizzas. That seems seems to be what everybody else does. That's no one would show up and be like, what fucking pizza? No, thanks. At this point, everyone's like, that's all you do. So you go to Costco or you go to Domino's or something and you just get as many pizzas as you can. And then you take home a bunch and you eat it for the rest of the week. But there's, I'm just worried because I did a park reservation and the park reservations are very specific about like, you can't have more than 25 people at a party at the park. And I'm like, all right, man, I got three times that at least.
You can be like, listen, park ranger, I'm on your side. My guest list is 15. You're going to see some parents try to sneak in. That's on you to enforce the list.
It also means that we've got to get, I mean, you can't feed that many people with one cake. So we got to get multiple cakes.
Yeah.
We have to, when I was doing party favors, I got party favors for that number of children and then quickly realized I had to go order a bunch more because all the siblings are there too. And like these kids just, I don't know what's going on. They all have siblings. There's not a single child at the coming to this party that doesn't have any other kids in their family. And then every once in a while you get somebody who messages you and they're like, hey, is it cool if my mom comes because she's going to be in town? Not, these are not children. These are like adults.
Yeah,
like,
no.
And
this like, is that same, that same 6-year-old who organized her own party guest list. Like, hey, Soren, I can call you Soren, right? Soren, it's me, Becky G. Can my mom come? I told her I would ask. She's going to be around. She's my ride, basically.
She's so dumb. I don't even know what she wants to. Yeah. So that, now we've got like extended family coming. It's just crazy. And I'll let you know how it goes because it's coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
But it's entirely possible we're going to be kicked out of this park for more than just this reason. We're doing bubble soccer as well, which is not allowed. Okay. It's not sanctioned. Okay. So we'll see.
What's your plan if they try to shut you down? Or are you free? Okay.
Yeah, I will not. I'm not going to try to fight this at all. I'll be actually pretty excited that I'm allowed to go. Hey, interested in growing your hair back? Think that there are a lot of crazy kooks out there trying to shop you snake oil to do that? Well, you don't have to choose between better hair growth and your health. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. Get ahead of thinning hair with Nutrafol's whole body approach to hair growth. No drugs and no compromises. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Nutrafol's hair growth nutraceuticals go beyond genetics to multi-target the root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, aging, and lifestyle through whole body health. It's physician formulated. It's using natural medical grade ingredients, and Nutrafol is naturally drug free. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 to 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. People in the medical field are looking at Nutrafol and going, you know what? That nut drug is pretty darn good at doing what it's supposed to do. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com/men and entering your promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their very best offer anywhere. They love us. Nutrafol is like, we're buddies. And it's only available in the U.S. So sorry, everyone else. It's for a limited time in the U.S. only. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men. Promo code QQ.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it. I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a pop culture one. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Oh, we used to do that a lot.
I know. Have you ever been rewarded for sticking with a piece of pop culture? I guess it would have to be a TV show that you had every reason to abandon. I can go first while you think.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
The show Westworld on HBO is a show that had one of the best pilots I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And a mostly good first season. Incredible cast. Great acting, really cool stuff. It's a futuristic park where rich people interact with robots. and they get to dress up like cowboys and just like live out a Western fantasy however you want. The robots are so sophisticated that they can adjust on the fly. If you want to be a good guy, bad guy, you can have sex with them, you can murder them, you could find treasure, you could just get drunk, you could just like pretend to be a cowboy. But most people do the worst things you could do with robots, and then the robots gain sentience and attack the humans. It's a very compelling first season of television. And also there's like a time, not travel twist, but like some kind of time related twist that's very exciting. A pretty good first season. Second season and third season were very strange and weird and bad, and they got into these needless, incredibly long, very dry, boring philosophical conversations. It never seemed like they had an end game for anything. Deaths wouldn't matter. They would kill a character and then bring it back to life because they were a robot, or they would kill a character and then bring the human back as a robot now. And it just felt like there were no stakes. And it really, again, a show that seemed completely directionless, and a lot of people stopped watching. You could see the ratings that people just stopped watching this show. And because I'm a strange, and I didn't like it. I watched every episode of this show and I didn't like it. I almost never knew what was going on, but I watch so few shows that when I do pick one, I stick with it because I'm a completist that way. And we just finished season four, and it's so crazy to say Westworld's good again.
What?
I don't know how to tell you this, but it's I don't want to spoil too much about where we are, but we're so far from the first season at this point. But they really, every actor is still very good. Every actor is having lots of fun. And they are, the fact that so many people are robots who can die and come back is now a feature and not a bug. It's not a bad thing anymore. We like that people can die in cool ways and come back, and nothing really matters. And it's just great actors. I think at this point, everyone is kind of a robot and they're just fighting each other and trying to save the world. And like, good guys become bad guys become good guys, and not in like a nuanced Game of Thrones way, in like a very, a switch is flipped and it's like, all right, I guess I'm good now. And now we get to see what it's like when this character is paired up with this one and they're fighting that other one and then they switch sides. It's just, I think it became pretty aware of its own A, silliness, and B, its own capabilities, if they're just going to live in a world where they can invent their rules on the fly all the time and just make a pretty ridiculous show. No one's as surprised as I am at how much fun this season of Westworld was. And I feel like I earned how good it is because I sat through such bad shit with a voice in my head telling me like, why are you doing just like, go to sleep instead of watching this. You're struggling to stay awake to watch this show you don't like. Just go to sleep, live your life. I was like, no, what if this is the one time that in the history of television where a show starts good, gets worse, and then gets good again? I know it's never happened before, but what if this is the time? And I think this is the time.
That's so shocking to me that show turned it around.
It rules.
I guess I should start watching it again. But I'm going to be so lost because I've seen the trailer for this season because, yeah, you know, it's got Lou Reed in it. You must love it.
Of course.
but there's a whole lot of like cityscapes in the future. It looks like yeah, the whole show takes place in Blade Runner. Like everything is different. And these people walking through glass doors constantly that are probably robots. And that's the whole show. I mean, yeah, that's like the whole trailer. And I'm like, I don't know what this fucking thing is anymore.
I think it's pretty okay that you don't know what's going on. Like, it's not one of those shows. There's so many shows in my life where a season ends and then I spend the entire off season thinking about it and trying to solve mysteries. And this is a show where a season ends and then it's completely out of my head. And then when mm-hmm. it comes back on and I start to see the same trailers, I'm like, man, I don't even know who's a robot anymore. I guess I don't care. I guess it doesn't matter. They'll tell me if it matters. And it doesn't. So it's fine.
I guess I could see the appeal of that. The show started with these people who were robots, kept dying in crazy ways, and then kept coming back. And like, if that's the whole appeal of going to Westworld in the first place. And then that's what's happening in the real world, where it's real people die and they come back in robots. And there's very little difference between them being a robot and them being a real person anymore. It's the same thing. It has the same appeal.
Yeah. And the show is very aware of like, well, let's not, as cool as cowboys were, let's really lean into the fact that everyone is a super strong robot that fights each other, and we could do anything. We could do anything in a world where death doesn't matter and robots are everywhere. And like, they just do like cool, almost standalone high concept episodes where one character is a robot and he wakes up in a prison and wants to break out of that prison. But he realizes as he's doing it that he is like the 200 and something version of himself. Yeah. And he realizes that because his entire escape is like littered with his past corpses, the past versions of him that have tried to do this thing. So he's like going along and learning from like, okay, well, clearly I at one point went in that direction and that's why he's dead. So I'm not going to go that way. And he's just like learning from this long string of his own corpse to get out of this prison. And it's just so fucking cool. And like a thing that truly no other show on television can do, because no other show has built this world of lawless robot magic.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the movie Westworld, and in that one, there's like Westworld plays a very, it's not a super long time that you're spending in Westworld. You go to like feudal Japan world and Indian world and stuff like that. Obviously the names need some workshopping. Yeah. Like Westworld's really the only one that works well.
Yeah.
But you like bounce into these other worlds a little bit. Is that happening in the show?
A little bit. Yeah. There's a couple of different worlds. There is a feudal Japan world. There's a prohibition world. There is some kind of like safari world, I want to say.
Okay.
Man, for a show I've watched every episode of, many of them multiple times, it all falls right out of my head in a very good way.
Yeah, that sounds nice, actually. I think I'd like to watch a show like that. So maybe we've talked about it on the podcast before. I watched Friday Night Lights when it came out.
Yeah.
As it was airing on NBC, I watched it. And the first season, same as Westworld, first season of Friday Night Lights, pilot included, are phenomenal. It's like a masterpiece. It's so good. And then the second season is such pure dog shit.
Yeah.
It's really tough to sit there and watch. Everything that was interesting about the show is suddenly gone. Instead, the majority of... So Friday Night Lights, if you're not familiar, is a show about town, Odessa in Texas, that...
Odessa?
Is it Odessa?
What's... Is the town Odessa and the schools are East and West Dillon? Is the town not Dillon?
That's from the movie. Maybe I'm thinking of Friday Night Lights. Co-written. Does it say? I thought it was Odessa.
Dillon Panthers.
Is Friday Night Lights based on Odessa? Oh, the book is about Odessa, Texas. That's why. It's in my head. Okay, forget that.
Okay.
Oh, so it's about the small town in Texas, and it's about their football team and how football is life there. I mean, the whole town closes down every Friday night to go watch the team play. And everybody who lives there also played football at the same school and like have just continued their lives in this small rinky-dink town. So they've got these like rings where they were famous for a brief stint of their lives, and then everything was downhill again from there. So football is everything. And it's great. Kyle Chandler is in it. And as the coach, it's a wonderful, wonderful show. The second season was mostly about a murder.
Yeah.
Two kids accidentally murder somebody. Two kids from the school accidentally murder someone. And one of the kids is like, he was the comic relief of the first season. He was fun. Yeah. He was removed from football. He was just like the quarterback's buddy and didn't actually play on the team at all. He was just like this voice of reason who could see the forest or the trees. And
then in the second season, he murders someone with a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And he's like, every episode is him crying and weeping and just not fun anymore. All the light has gone out in his eyes. So even the things that murder, that were fun are gone.
I think that murder happens in the first episode of the season too. Where
it's wild.
It's really early on. And I remember it happening and being like, no, don't do that. Then you have to like realistically play out what would happen after that. No, there's no going back now. He's just got to be sad all season.
And that's all it was. And like so much of the plot was invested in these two getting away with murder.
Yeah.
It was really odd. And in a way where I was like, okay, this show sucks now, but it's still a show. I've already built the pattern. I know that I'm going to be home on this night to watch it. And then season three rolled around and season three was awesome again. And season four was even better.
Yeah.
And the show got amazing again. It just had this weird bell curve in the middle where I don't know what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah.
Peter Berg was just like, I don't want to do football anymore.
I doubt that was, that feels like a decision from, what was their original, you said NBC was their original network? They weren't like CW or some shit like that?
No, they're NBC.
I think it very much feels like one of those network decisions where it's like, you've got a show set in a high school. We need some real stakes. We need a murder mystery. We need like some more drama beyond the inherent drama of high school and high stakes football games. We need something else. We need something else to get people watching every week. People like murder, I guess. It really seems like it seems like an executive in a room saying, what if one of the characters killed someone? And then like, that's a big cliffhanger, huh?
what do you think?
Yes, that is a big cliffhanger. I'm not sure how it fits into our small town football narrative.
Right. But just think about how you'd have to solve that. Yeah, I am thinking about that and not super happy about the way I'd have to solve that.
That by season three of the show, I don't think that murder ever came up again.
No, it's really funny. The kids got away with it scot-free.
They did. And no one brings it up and no one's mad about it.
And they never deal with it emotionally anymore either. They're like, they really had their catharsis in season two. And then they're like, yeah, I murdered a guy. Let it go. I've moved on.
Yeah, I was a sophomore.
We all did crazy things as sophomores. I mean, you kissed a girl. What is that? So anyway, that was one where I was really into. I was really glad that I stuck around. And I was glad that it did feel rewarding in that I had stuck with it. Because I was like, everyone else kind of tuned out.
Yeah.
Didn't really like it anymore. And I could be the one being like, no, guys, come back. It's good again.
Yeah. I can claim no honor in sticking with that show because I think it was already three seasons on when I first started watching it on Hulu or Netflix or whatever. So everyone braced me properly. They were like, don't worry. You can stick with this. So I had there was no risk for me to keep watching that show. I already knew there was a light at the end of the tunnel. What you did was bravery.
Yeah. That's like sticking with a sports team when they're bad.
Yeah.
and then finally winning a Super Bowl. But there's another one that I read. So there was a summer where I was like a really good reader. I was really into it. I would work at this job at a golf course and I was just reading classics in my spare time thinking like, I'll be a better person from these. And I wasn't. I mean, a lot of it was objectively too tough for me to penetrate. I didn't get it. And one of the things that I was reading was James Joyce. And James Joyce has a short story called The Dead. It's in a collection called...
How short is it?
So that's the thing. It's in this book called The Dubliners. And Dubliners has like a lot of short stories that are all pretty dismal and dark. But there's this one called The Dead, and it's long. It's like the longest short story I've ever read. It should be a novella. It's way, way, way too long. And I remember reading it and in the middle of it, just being like, what the fuck am I doing? I hate this. Why would I subject myself to this? I don't like any of this. It's like when you were a kid and your movie finished early at the movie theater and you snuck over into your parents, whatever movie they were watching, and like it was some political thriller and you had no context for anything. Yeah. And you're just like, when's this movie over?
Yeah. I love pausing in the middle of a book to be like, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
Yeah, I was like, each page was taking me a lot longer than it should because I had to reread it over and over because I just lose interest and I just start zoning out and thinking about other things. And then I was like, I just got to get through this short story. I just got to get through it. And then the end is, the payoff is so good. It's so wonderful in the story in a way that meant a lot to me seminally at the time. Wow. And I was like, by the end, I was like, I love James Joyce.
Wow.
I mean, I never felt that again. I don't get a single thing he says. I've tried to read everything. I tried to read Portrait of a Narcissist Young Man. I'm like, this is tough, man. I can't get through this.
I was going to make a joke, but I do believe James Joyce came up on a previous podcast as a specific example of a person I joke about, but know nothing about. Just one of my like fake intellectual jokes that I use as a punchline, like while I'm walking out the door so there can be no follow-up questions.
Right. I mean, he wrote Ulysses, and Ulysses is based on the story of Odysseus from the Odyssey. And I love the shit out of that.
Yeah.
But Ulysses is, I mean, I wouldn't even be able to tell you how it's related. Like I read Ulysses and I'm like, I don't know. There's no parallels in my mind. I don't get it. But The Dead is a great short story with fantantastic, I shouldn't say it's a great short story. It's a really tough short story with a great ending. I'll tell you, I mean, if you don't want to read it, the what you're finding out at the end, this woman was like, it's this guy and this woman at a party, and she starts seeming really distant at the party, and he doesn't understand why. And he's just like imagining all these different reasons why she's so distant. And then at the end, it's revealed that she saw somebody appear at the top of the stairs at the party, and it had reminded her when she was young. I think this is maybe a little great, but it reminded her of when she was young, she had a lover a long time ago who was deeply sick. And one night in the rain, he came to see her. And like what that meant to her, that this man came in the rain to see her. And then he died. He got more sick and died. And how those types of people continue to die in your brain all the time. Like that they don't just die and go away. Like they're in you forever. And like, you can never compete with a lover. Like if you, I hate the word lover. You can never compete with somebody's like previous somebody who died in their life. There's no way. Like that person will be in their mind will live on as like the best example of what love could be. And you will never, ever, ever, ever be able to contend with that. And this guy just like realizing that in the last few pages. And I was
man, Soren, you don't have to tell me. All my girlfriends are dead. It's a weird pattern. I can't explain it.
I think I had been in my first long-term relationship when I was reading it and being like, oh shit. I think this was written for me. I'd be actually curious to go read The Dead again because, I mean, I was so young when I read it. Of course, I hated it. I wonder if I am older now and I would look at it and be like, ah, no, I understand it better. Or if I'd be like, nah, I was right. I'm the same idiot I was when I was 18. All right. Well, that's going to be it for our show. You can follow Daniel on Twitter. You can follow him at DOB_Inc. You can also follow me there at Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question or talk to them at QQ_Soren and Dan. We have an email address too. If what you want to say is more than 186 characters or whatever Twitter allows now, I can't remember. QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. We have a sound engineer, an editor, a producer named Gabe Harder. Period. And you can follow us on Patreon. You can get some exclusive content from us on Patreon where we answer questions from you guys. That's at Patreon/Quick Question. Our theme song is by Me Rex, and you can find their music pretty much anywhere. You can find it on Spotify and stuff, but you can also just go to merex.bandcamp.com and find all their albums. And that is it. Daniel.
Yeah.
I enjoyed speaking with you today.
I enjoyed speaking with you too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. All right, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. All right, the answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So, what's your favorite?
How did you get?
When will I be?
Remember?
What's it up to? If there's an answer, they're gonna find it.
I think you'll have a great time, yeah.